Good morning, church. It's really good to see some new faces. Is it doing good? I'm sorry, I just need to adjust my mic here. For some reason, wireless microphones don't like me. Test. Maybe it's better. It's good to see some new faces. Not faces, but new set of eyes. Should I use just regular mic instead? Is it better like this? 3, 2, 1. I think it's still doing it. 1, 2, 1, 2. Well, you can handle some noise, right? If not, they'll give me a regular mic. Well, next Sunday, we won't be needing those masks. One thing I found useful about those masks. Like, for example, if you listen to me now and you get bored, you can yawn without me knowing that. I'm doing it all every Sunday. Joel never even knows that I'm yawning sitting there. So starting next Sunday, you need to take much more coffee in the mornings to make sure you're all awake and you don't yawn as much. Well, my message this morning is extremely simple, something that God placed in my heart. And the title of my message, pretty much, it's the main thought of the message. So it's not going to be a deep theological spiel. So the title of my message is this: you need a fresh word from God. You need a fresh word from God. And with this message, I will try to explain why we all desperately need to hear fresh word from God. And hopefully, I will stir hunger in your heart, so by the time we're done, you would really want to hear a fresh word from God. I would like to start by reading Colossians 3:16, where Apostle Paul exhorts church, and he's saying these words: let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. There are a couple things that we notice. How exactly the word of Christ should dwell in our hearts? And the answer is richly. And it says dwell. It's not just come for a visit. I remember when I lived in Ukraine, my family and I, we moved from Ukraine about 10 years ago. We used to have a car, so like old car, 1978 something, Soviet car. But the problem is we didn't really have much money. We kind of were running very lean, so we couldn't afford fueling this car and just like we do here in Canada. You come to the pump and you just fuel the whole tank and then you drive. We had to estimate exactly how much fuel we need for this particular trip, and I would go and fuel my tank with maybe 2 liters or 3 liters at a time. It reminds me how sometimes many Christians fuel their hearts with the Word of God. They would have a little bit here, a little bit there. It comes very seldom. But what Paul is exhorting church, saying that your hearts need to be filled richly. For you to really thrive in life, you need to be filled with the Word of God. The Word of God needs to fill your hearts richly. Get your tanks full and keep them full. I would like to look at one story that we find in the book of Matthew, chapter 4. It's a very famous story from life of Jesus. Just after Jesus got baptized and before he started his public ministry, he was led by Holy Spirit into the desert to be tempted by a devil. And we find interesting things here. I would like to read this a couple of verses from here. We'll start from verse 1. Then Jesus was led by Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then devil took him in the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And again, devil took him to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. So we see how devil trying to use different ways of pushing Jesus to do something that would jeopardize his call and his mission. He would try to deceive him into taking shortcuts and doing some things that devil knows if Jesus would do it, it would ruin him. And how devil does it? He's doing it by, he's a deceiver. Devil's main weapon in order to deceive us, in order to take us away from God's call, it's by planting some lies in our hearts. And once we swallow those lies, they start taking roots in our heart, those lies start taking us away from God. And look how Jesus was fighting back. The only way to fight back against those lies, it's with the word of truth that comes from the mouth of God. Devil will always will come and he will try to lie you. He will try to plant those seeds of lie about God's character, about you, about your call, about how God sees you. He will try to put the seeds of lies in your heart. And the only way to push back, the only way to fight back is with the word of God. Look what Jesus said. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from mouth of God. This word, he said, every word that comes, it's a Greek word, rhema, which means spoken word. It's something that God is saying now. It's a word that alive in your heart. It's a word that not something you read 10 years ago and at this point it just became a theory. It's just a head knowledge. But it's a word that you hear in your spirit. It's a word that alive in your heart right now. This is the word that gives you power to push back. This is the word that really gives you strength. This is the type of word that really gives you life and give you power to persevere and push forward. This is the type of word he is talking about. By saying this, Jesus quoted what Moses actually said many years before that in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's just read that. This is what Moses was saying. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. What Moses was talking about, many of you would know this story found in the book of Exodus, how God was providing manna for children of Israel in the desert. It was type of a bread. Nobody exactly knows what exactly it is, but it's something they could eat every day. Looking in this story has so many meanings and so many applications, but today I just want to point out two lessons that we can learn from this story. First of all, God was providing this manna for them every day. Every day they had to go out and gather it. It was daily. On Monday, God sent them the manna that they needed on Monday. But when Tuesday came, they needed a fresh manna. They needed to go out and pick up fresh manna. I remember in Ukraine, the main holiday that we have. Corey, do you want to give? Just like this? All right. The main holiday in Ukraine, it's the New Year. We don't celebrate Christmas as much, you know, the 70 years of Soviet government killed that. But the New Year, it's a holiday to celebrate. So the whole family comes together and we eat all night through. Like, it's all about eating. I remember my grandma would put, like, it was like a feast. Your table would just be full with all kind of foods. And you eat all night through till you can't stand. You can see lots of people with pants untied by the end of that night. It's like one of those nights. And by the morning, you feel, you know what? I will never get hungry again. I will never need food again. I ate so much that that's it. I'm not eating till the rest of my life. Well, guess what? You wake up next day, and closer to the lunchtime, you feel, you know what? I want to check out what are the leftovers. I want to open my fridge and see what's there again. See, you cannot live on yesterday's bread. 10 years ago, you received word from God. 5 years ago, last week, God spoke something to you. You heard something, you read something, something jumped out of you from the Bible, and it was good for last week. But today, you need a fresh word from Him. Do you know that God has fresh word for you for every season you walk through? God has a fresh word for every time, for every circumstance, for every situation you find yourself in. God has a fresh word for you. God knows exactly where you are and exactly where you need to go. And He's guiding us through His word. You need a fresh word from God for today, for this season. Can you hear what God is speaking to you today? Sometimes we find ourselves in this situation, like for example with COVID. It caught us by surprise. We just find ourselves that something happens and we don't know what's up. I just want to tell you guys that God is never caught by surprise by anything. God is aware what's happening. Nothing that happens in this world catches God, but God thinks, oh my Lord, oh me, what should I do? I don't know. How can I, this thing could slip through my hands. God knows exactly what's happening. That's why every day we need to make sure that we stay in tune so we can hear what He's saying to us. The second lesson that we can learn from this story with manna is that they needed to go out of their tents and gather this manna. See, this manna wasn't served right in their tents. They needed to go out and get it. So many people today, they're starving spiritually and they're struggling from malnutrition because they stopped to go out of their tents and getting this manna for themselves, this fresh manna. Some people hope that, you know, the Word of God will come to them in sleep or while they watch a movie. And I'm not saying it's not possible. It could be. God can speak to you through the dreams and in sleep. But, you know, I wouldn't count on it. It's not something that you should just say, well, if God wants to talk to me, He will have to catch me, you know, on my terms. What I'm talking about is that we need to be intentional about positioning ourselves, about developing some kind of ways, about creating a room where we can give our full attention to hear what God is saying. The fresh word from God, that's what we need in order to move forward, in order not to get stuck in inertia, in order not to get stuck in one place. Imagine a boat in the ocean. The only way this boat will go forward, if there is an engine that continue pushing it, there is an engine that's working. Every time we hear a word from God, every time God speaks to us, every time we read Bible or we listen to some message, something jumps out of those pages and I know exactly what God is saying. It gives us this power to move forward. There are so many people today that they think they're still going forward. They think they're still moving, but actually they are slowing down. You know what happens when engine stopped working at the boat? For some time, this boat would still go forward. Why? Because there is momentum was creating in the past, and this momentum still kind of pushing it. But without even knowing, this boat kind of losing its speed, and at some point, it will come to the stop. And then it's so difficult to start going again. So guys, fresh word from the Lord, that's what we need in order to go get going, in order to go forward toward God's plans, toward what God is calling us for. We need that. I would like us to look at one psalm in the Bible. It's a Psalm 119. It's a great psalm. This psalm was written it's like a poem about the Word of God. The person who wrote this psalm, he explains and he expresses adoration and his love about the Word of God. This psalm, it's known for its being the longest psalm in the Bible. It's the longest book in the Bible. It has, chapter. This psalm has 176 verses. So if you want to learn something really cool, memorize this psalm. You'll definitely impress somebody if you speak it from memory. Actually, I would really recommend you guys, because today we'll just look at a few verses, but I will recommend you maybe later today just to go and read the whole Psalm 119 from beginning to the end. Look what he's saying. I will just select a few verses here. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. So this guy compares the Word of God to the riches. So he sees lots of value in the Word of God. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. He's talking about deep thinking. He's talking about studying. He's talking about meditation. You know, studying, it's a skill that unfortunately many people never develop. Nowadays, it seems like studying is more like, oh no, don't tell me to study something. But this guy is saying, I I meditate on your precepts. I consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. What we can hear through all these verses is one thing, that he is being very intentional about the word of God. Can you hear how intentional is he? My question for you today, church, is this. Are you creating room in your life when you give on a regular basis, when you give God your full attention, when you set yourself, when you position yourself to hear what he's saying to you? This season of COVID, one thing that it brought, it's something that I'm finding myself against. It's almost like mental of laziness. It's like a mental of apathy or mental of some kind of lethargy, where it seems like doing things becomes harder and harder. So even sometimes open up your Bible or tuning into some, listening to some message seems like takes lots of efforts to do. But guys, we need to shake that off. We need to shake off that laziness. We need to shake off that apathy. We need to shake off this lethargy. We need to get it stirred. And we need to start creating this room. We need to start going out of our tents and go and start gathering that manna. Start gathering and getting the words that God wants to tell us. And I'm not telling about some rocket science. All right. We'll do this. Oh, I can hear myself now. Yeah. I'm talking and about just the simple things. It's about studying the word. It's about on a regular basis listening to some really good teachings and messages. It's about reading some good books. You know what I would do? Sometimes I would hear Dave would refer a book he's reading or read in the past, or he would drop a name of somebody that he liked reading. I would make note of it, and then I would go and I would buy that book, and I would put it in my collection of Audible or Kindle, and I would just have it there. And then at some time I would start reading it as well. You need to read something. You need to always expose yourself to something that would stir you, that would challenge you, something that would something you would chew on, something that you can meditate on, some good messages, not just stuff that will just inspire you for a day, but maybe some theology. You know, some people say, oh no, I'm not a theologian. Actually, you are. We all are. We all have our theology. But how deep and how accurate our theology is depends on how open we are for listening and to studying the Word of God, to get this understanding, to give. So what I'm talking about is about pressing on. You need to develop those habits of pressing on, be active, be intentional. Why it's so important so we receive daily fresh Word from the Lord? I would like to point four reasons, four main things that I would like to focus on today that the Word of God doing to us. I will just list them right here. The word of God guides us. The word of God anchors us in the storm. The word of God rejuvenates us. That's a difficult word for me to say. You know, this word is rejuvenates. It kind of sounds funny. And then the word of God empowers us to overcome. So I will just point out and I will show you how exactly word of God doing these four things to us. Number one, a word from God guides us. And we will stay within this psalm. We will only stay in this psalm 119, and we will draw all these conclusions from there. Verse 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I remember I've been to Pakistan once, and actually been there four times. But one time, we were walking through this field, and it was dark. And guy, he just saying, like, briefly, you know, if I were you, I would use a flashlight, because this field usually has lots of cobras. And, you know, when you hear lots of cobras in the field, you're like, oh, where's my flashlight? And I didn't have one, so I was walking behind that guy with a flashlight. You don't want to step on cobra. Sometimes walking in this life, it's like you're walking in the darkness, and you need to have this flashlight. This fresh relation from the Lord that would guide you. Sometimes all you need is just small light, just for you to see enough for take your next step. Sometimes we won't see the whole picture, but sometimes all you need is just one word that would just guide you for your next step. But there's another way how God guides us for his word, and I want to mention this way. Oftentimes, guidance comes as fresh perspective. It's not always something that God tells you, go left or go right. Sometimes the way the Lord guides us through giving us fresh perspective. Did you know that your perspective guides you? The angle you look at things in life dramatically changes how what you see and how you respond. If you go to Italy and you rent a car and you will drive this car and suddenly you will bump somebody, you know, somebody will stop short in front of you and you will hit the car, you know, in front of you and just bump it to the bumper. Do you know what would happen? Nothing. Nobody will ever pay attention. Because the way their culture is, the way their reality is, they bump each other all the time. When they park, you can see cars will just go back and forth when they do parallel parking. And how you know that you're close enough? When you hear it or you can feel it. What would happen in Regina if you park like that? Well, it will be a little bit different story. You definitely will see somebody running out, yelling at you and swearing, and what did you do to my car? I just bought it, or something like this. So it depends on how you see. It depends on the perspective you have. The way you respond to life, the way you respond to circumstances is different. Your perspective determines what you value. Your perspective determines what you give priority to, what you chase after. It determines when we fight and when we let go of some things. And God wants to give you fresh perspective on things in your life. God's word helps you to look at your life from His point of view, from God's point of view. The word of God gives us heavenly perspective to look at life, to look at life at. Our perspective determines how we handle life in general. It perhaps Apostle Paul's perspective that would help him to be in a Roman prison, waiting for his trial, writing the message to Philippians saying, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm content. I'm just fine with the way things are. I'm good. Don't worry about me, guys. I learned to live in every circumstance. It perhaps his perspective allowed him to write from the same prison to the same people, you know, guys, I think it's better for me if I die. I really want to go home to the Lord. If I stay, it's best for you. But for me, life in Christ and death is a gain. It perhaps was his perspective. Seeing life from God's perspective helps us to be in peace and helps us to make right decisions. And the Word of God gives us these heavenly lenses to look at life through. And by this, it guides you. We live in times, it seems like one wave just comes after another. It seems like things happening, and if we don't have this heavenly perspective to look at life, those waves, those storms, they will just overwhelm us. Today, like never before, we need to look at life through God's perspective, to see things the way God sees them, to have these heavenly lenses to look at life at. Number two, the Word of God anchors us in the storm. I will just read a few more verses from this psalm. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life. Sustain me, my God, according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Uphold me, and I will be delivered. I will always have regard for your decrees. One of the things that being attacked when we go through the storm is our hope. Devil knows if we lose our hope, we lost it. We won't have power and strength to persevere and to go through. And he knows that. That's why he's attacking our hope. What exactly, what is the thing that really kills our hope in the storm? I will just read one more verse here. Look what he is saying. According to the word of God, this is what he can see. You are good and do only good. Teach me your decrees. This is what he is saying. When I study your word, when I get fresh word from you every day, through the eyes of faith, I can see that you are good. And things that you do, they are good. So what ruins our hope? What really undermines and really destroys our hope? It's when we lose sight of God's goodness. When somehow we start having doubts and start having this like certainty about the goodness of God. Knowing God's goodness, that's what helps us trust in God's heart, even when we can't really see His hand. Our hope goes beyond circumstances. Our hope goes beyond that.
And knowing God's goodness, that's what sustains us. That's what gives us peace. Because again, like Paul said, I can do all things because God is good. And because I know that He has good plans for me, I'm gonna just trust Him. I may not understand what's happening. All I can see right now is those big waves. Things may not work the way I want. But I know that in the midst of it all, God is good. And His plans for me are good. And what He thinks about me is good. That's why I can trust His heart. Even if I can't see His hand, I can still rely on goodness of my God. And the fresh word of God, when you hear His word on a daily basis, that's what gives you this hope. That's what it does. This psalmist, he said that your word comforts me in suffering. Why do we need comfort when we go through suffering? Because when we're in a storm, when we're going through storms of life, we need to grapple with many tough questions. We need to grapple with some losses. Even through this COVID, many people lost things. Some people lost their loved ones. Some people lost jobs, lost businesses, lost opportunities, lost many things. So we need to grapple with it. We grapple with things like unanswered prayers. We were praying about something and it seems like it didn't happened. We expected something and then it didn't happen the way we wanted. So we need to grapple with unmet expectations. You know, and I have seen in my Christian walk, I have seen many people who experience a shipwreck of their faith when they were going through seasons like that. That's why it's so important to continually receiving this fresh from God. If you find yourself in this place where you fight with disappointments, where you experience pain of disappointments, you need, like never before, to hear a fresh word from the Lord. You don't need people's pity. You don't need people to try to, pity you or something like that. You need to hear what God has to say about your situation now, what God has to say about the season you're in right now. And once you hear His word, it will restore. It will give you hope. It will restore your hope. It will sustain you. It will give you strength to stay strong and go through whatever you're going through. Number three. A word of God, a fresh word from God, rejuvenates us. He says in this psalm, "My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Open my eyes." See how interesting that strength and eyes goes together. What happens when we weary? Our vision goes down. Our vision, I'm speaking about a spiritual vision for our life, gets weak. When we're in this place, when we're weary in our soul, in our heart, we lose vision. And so he's praying, strengthen me and open my eyes that I may see wonderful things of your law. God's word, that's what awakes your soul. It injects fresh life and strength in your soul. Physical rest is important, but by itself, only resting physically will not restore and rejuvenate your soul, your weary soul. When you're weary, your vision gets weak, as I said. You know, during this COVID season, one of the things I noticed, many people losing their vision. Because many things they planned for, many things they were hoping for are not happening. They had to change their plans, there are lots of cancellations. So whatever vision they had seems like it gets dim, seems like it gets so far. We need to get our vision restored. Fresh vision comes as a result of fresh word. There's a good friend of mine, he's a pastor with church, and he was going through a tough season where he was that close to just leaving the church and just moving away. He just didn't want to do it anymore. He was so weary. And he was trying to get some rest. He was trying to do some. And seems like it doesn't matter how much he was resting physically, it just wouldn't do it. The more he was resting, the more he thought, when I come back, I'm dumping the church. No way I'm sticking with it. There are so many things that were going wrong. And until he heard what God told him, until he received the word from God. A friend called him and said, hey, I was praying for you. I really think God wants to tell you something. So they arranged this time when they prayed for him. And through that, there's a prophetic word start flowing. And then suddenly his vision got restored. Suddenly hope came back. So he came back with a strong vision, with a sense of direction. And there is no talking about living right now. They're just talking about there are so many things God wants to do here. There are so many things that we can do. And so what happens? The word of God, the fresh word from God rejuvenated him, restored him, gave him this life, restored his vision. We all need that. We all need that. Church, I really believe that we are stepping into the season of acceleration. I don't know what you feel. This is what I've been feeling in my heart for years. That season comes. It's like a season pedal to the metal. All in. It's a season when God will do so many things and we need to be ready to run fast. It's not the time just to try to hide somewhere and just, oh, I'm so tired. I can't do it anymore. There's a season where we need to be ready to run. But how we can run if we're weary? If we don't, you know, lots of people try to run when they're weary. What happens? They break down because you can't run on empty too long. So guys, stakes are so high. We need to learn how to get out of those tents and get this fresh word. We need to learn how to position ourselves, how to press on, how to open, how to be intentional about hearing what God is saying so that His word would restore our vision, would restore our strength, would rejuvenate us and give us this oomph to go forward where He's calling us. I'm not talking about some big prophetic word necessarily, even though that when that happens, it's awesome. What I'm talking about, it's about hearing that gentle voice on daily basis. There is so many time when the Bible says daily, 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 daily. As Joel mentioned last Sunday, one workout a year wouldn't give you strength, but it's when you're doing repeatedly. It's when you open your Bible every day. It's when you listen to some good sermons. If it's when you pray, it's when you read some good books on daily basis, daily basis. You're positioning yourself so that God would speak to you through all this. And the last thing that the Word of God does to us, well, it's not the last, it's last on my list for today. The Word of God doing so many great things to us. A word from God empowers us to overcome. Guys, and I left it for end because I think it's the most, it's out of all three, I think it's the most important. So I really would like you to pay attention to this one. Let's go back to the story when the devil was tempting Jesus. What was the main point? What is the main point of every temptation? What devil is really after? It's not just pushing you to do something like behavior-wise, like do some sin or do something. It's not the main point. The main point, the main goal of devil's lies and his deception and his temptation, it's to distort God's character in your eyes. It's to convince you of this. God doesn't care about you. You can't really trust Him. See what He said. Take your life in your own hands. Make bread out of the stones. Take things in your own hands. Make it yourself. You can't really trust God with your needs. He doesn't care about your needs. You need to do it yourself. And then He said, prove yourself. Jump from this building. Let all people see how great you are. Angels will catch you. And they will know, oh yes, He is a Messiah. Look at Him. He jumped from this bridge and look at Him. He's like a superhero. Prove yourself. You know, make yourself. Take a shortcut. Look at all these nations. Just worship me. I'll give it all to you. I'll give you all these nations. I'll give you all this splendor. So he is trying to put this lie saying, you can't really trust God with your call. You can't really trust God that he'll open doors for you, that he will somehow lead you, guide you. Make it yourself. Prove yourself. Show yourself. You know, just kind of a, because this is how this world works. Don't trust God. You can't really trust him. It's very similar to what we see in the Garden of Eden when devil came and he was tempting Eve. What God was saying, God told Eve, don't eat from that tree. He told to Adam and Eve, you know, it will hurt you. Just trust me. Trust my love. Trust my goodwill for you. You don't want to eat from this tree. But devil comes and he says, it's not going to hurt you. Actually, you'll be better. You will see better. Your horizon will open. He's targeting the image of God's characters in your eyes. Devil's main weapon is to convince you that you can't trust God. You can't trust His love. You can't trust His goodwill and His good plans for your life. He's saying to you, if you obey God, He will keep you down. If you submit to God, you will miss out. You will be held back from the opportunities. You will not be able to do everything you could be. You shouldn't aim to obeying God. You'll be better on your own. Take your life in your own hands. That's a very, very, very dangerous lie. Because when we swallow that lie, we start doubting that God has our best intentions, best interest in His heart. You know what is one of the reasons why we can't fully trust God? Because deep down in our heart, we actually doubt that God has our best interest in His heart, in His mind about us. So we think, you know what? I'll try to make it myself. And that's the point of temptation. How we can know that God has His best intention and our best interest in His heart? When we look at the cross, when we see Jesus at that cross, that proves to us that our Heavenly Father always has our best interest in His heart about us all the time. The Word of God helps us to see. When we receive this Word of God daily, it helps us to see God for who He is. It helps us to see God as a loving Father who always has our best interest in His heart, who delights in us and who deeply cares about every area of our lives, who has great plans for us, for our future, for this earth and even beyond that. This is what the Word of God does. The Word of God empowers us to overcome all the lies the devil is trying to bring your way. So guys, in conclusion, it's been a tough season. I understand that. We all went through this season. COVID really messed up with us. When it just started, I kind of felt, well, it's not doing anything to me. But 6-7 months into it, I really felt like it's like things changing. Everything, as I mentioned before, this apathy, this complacency, this feeling of laziness, it sneaks on you. Suddenly you feel like you don't want to do anything. You'd rather take the easy way out. You'd rather, sleep in a little bit more. You prefer to stay home than come to church. I'd rather preach from home, honestly. If I could do that, I would say, hey, can I preach from home? It would be awesome. It feels like energy level, getting really low. So guys, but stakes are so high, and even though I understand that we all went through this season, we need to find the way to shake it off, to shake off that complacency. I know that many of you guys going on a summer break, I'm encouraging you, please create a plan that would involve more than just physical rest, more than just doing something physically, but create a plan how you can be intentional about creating a room where you can position yourself to hear from God. Make this plan. Make room where you could hear the Word of God, what God is saying to you today. Start praying like you used to. Start reading your Bible like you did when you just got saved. Ask someone to join you on this journey. If you find yourself, it's hard for you to really start again going, find a Bible reading partner, somebody that you can decide, you know what, let's just every day read, follow some Bible plan and just hold each other accountable. Guys, this is so important. We cannot keep on running on empty. We cannot trying to move forward, trying to live on yesterday's bread, trying to live on those prayers we prayed years ago, on the revelations we got from the Lord years ago. We cannot, because we will stop. We will get to this place where we don't have power and energy and strength to run forward. Daily word from God will guide you. It will restore your hope. It will revive your vision. It will strengthen you. It will refresh you. It will make you thrive in every season. If it's a dry season or it's a not dry season, you will thrive because the Word of God within you will be giving, will be pumping this life of God. It will be bringing presence of Jesus Himself into your life. And it will give you strength to stay strong and go forward and persevere. And then you can say like Apostle Paul, I can do all things. Doesn't matter what happens, I can do because Christ gives me strength. Amen. This was my message. Let's pray. Let's stand for a second. I like to pray when we stand up. Seems like it's more appropriate. Thank you, Lord. Lord God, we ask you today so you would stir hunger in our heart for your word. Lord, we come to you today. And we understand that we need to hear a fresh word from you. Lord, we lost vision. Lord, seems like this complacency and laziness and apathy is overtaking us to the point where we became slow. We don't know where to go. Seems like we find ourselves in this place that we discourage and we're losing hope. Lord, we need to hear from you. Holy Spirit, we just ask you so you would soften our hearts, and we just ask you so you would help us to get back. You would help us to get back to praying, to studying your word, so you would just revive this love for your word like we used to have. We ask you, Holy Spirit, so you would give us strength to shake off this complacency, to shake off the laziness, to shake off this apathy, and give us hunger, Lord, to go out every day out of our tents and go and gather this manna. Go and gather, go and receive the word that you have for us for every day. Lord, I speak blessing on the church. I speak blessing to every person who listening to me right now here and our online audience. I ask you, Holy Spirit, so you would speak and you would just open their hearts so they can hear a fresh word from you. What you're saying to them for today, for their season, for their circumstances, for where they're at. Let them hear, Lord. Change their perspective. Guide them. Strengthen them. Restore their hope, Lord. Restore hands that are weak. Restore people who fight disappointments. People who feel bitter because of some unmet expectations or some prayers not answered. Lord, they desperately need to hear your voice. They need to hear what you have to say to them. So I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, so you would speak to every heart, so you would speak to us as a church, so you would revive our vision, so you would open our eyes, so you would have this vision burning in our heart when we look forward, Lord, so we can feel and we could see where you want to lead us, Lord. We want to go. We don't want to get slow. We don't want to slow down. We want to pick up speed. We ask you, Holy Spirit, so you would just blow your wind behind our sails so we can go forward, so we can fulfill and complete everything that you called us for. Lord, we need you. We need your fresh word like never before. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. All right, so we'll start by just dismissing our online audience. Guys, thanks for being with us. Hope to see you sometimes in person. Take care there. Have a good week. Well, and guys, we're free to go, and you can just dismiss
everyone.
Yourself.
Hey, everyone, I just want to thank you so much for taking
distance.
The time to
Next
join
week,
us
you
today.
Don't have to keep the distance.
We hope you enjoyed
week,
it and found
COVID
something
gone,
that spoke to you or blessed you in some way. That really is the heart of Harvest City Church, that you'd take what you've heard, learned, or experienced here, and then go out and share that good news with others.